I felt like we needed to have something there out there that week so people could, you know, participate somehow or not feel this super huge void.
Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 36 of the Audio Briefings. Really happy to have you here. Before we do anything else, make sure that you subscribe in Spotify or Apple iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today we are going to be talking to Sarah Nisler, and she is the digital marketing manager for EAA. She is a pilot. She is responsible for moving Oshkosh 2020 online this year, and we want to talk to her about her aviating, about her story, and give you really a behind-the-scenes look at EAA, at Oshkosh, and what goes into these events. And it's a pretty candid conversation, so I think you'll really enjoy that. Before we get on to that, though, I just wanted to tell you about a couple of things that we just put on the Cardinal Aviation website. And this whole COVID-19 pandemic has brought this industry to its knees, and we have a lot of friends, colleagues, fellow pilots, people we don't even know, that are unfortunately out of work right now. And Cardinal Aviation, we wanted to do something about it, and we have a really big network of pilots, of air operators, and every week we get inquiries from air operators if we know somebody that might be suitable for a job. So we want to know you. So if you go to www.cardinalaviation.ca/pilotjobs, we've gone and put a form out there, and you can fill out the form if you're a Canadian pilot, for now anyway, and you're going to attach your resume, and that's going to add you to our pool of pilots. And what that'll do is if we get a call from an air operator, it'll allow us to match you if you meet the air operator's specs or what they're looking for in a pilot with that job, because we want to get as many pilots as we can back working, back in the cockpit. And who knows, if a funky Cardinal Aviation job comes up in your area, I might be able to refer some work to you as well. So at the end of the day, as pilots, we all need to look out for one another. We all need to help one another out. So if you are looking for work, if you are unemployed and you are a Canadian pilot, go and submit your information there so we can try and help you out. The other thing on the website, we talked about it the last two episodes, but there's two new things. You can go ahead, if you like to support the podcast, you can go and make a contribution there. Or another thing you can do is just pick up some Cardinal Aviation gear. We got some awesome decals and t-shirts and hoodies and hats. It's all there if you want to fly the colors away from your computer or out of your car at the airport and let everyone know that you're part of our online community and you're committed, as we are, to transforming the way you fly and safety and proficiency and all that really good stuff. Okay, I will stop blabbing on here. We're going to get to our conversation with Sarah. I really thank you guys for being here. We do this because we absolutely love doing it. We love hearing from you. So feel free to submit any feedback or reviews that you may have on the show. And as always, we love hearing your feedback and questions so that we can incorporate them into the podcast. All right, everyone, here is Sarah. So I'm here with Sarah Nisler of Sarah, because really we're not here to talk about necessarily her job. We're here to talk about the person. But she is the digital marketing manager for EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association. And if you don't know what that is, somebody should take your pilot's license away because you don't deserve it. But EAA, their flagship events are Sun and Fun and, of course, Oshkosh. And no?
We don't do Sun and Fun. We used to many, many years ago, but now we just attend as an exhibitor, basically.
Oh, cool. So we're like 54 seconds in. I've already been told. Awesome.
Yeah.
This is that's how this is going to go. Okay. So they do Oshkosh. And now that they don't do Sun and Fun, they can do Oshkosh that much better. But anyway, welcome, Sarah. Thanks for coming.
Well, thanks for having me. super excited.
Yeah. Well, I should go back to how we know each other. So I met you 2 years ago at the High Sierra Fly-In. And at the High Sierra, you were walking around with a couple of guys with cameras interviewing people to make some EAA online content. And you did not have a pilot's license then, correct?
Correct. I was just hoping to start around that time.
So had you made the decision to, like, that you're already going to do this before you got to High Sierra? Or was that?
Like 2 weeks before.
Really? And your background is in marketing, and your marketing took you to EAA. Did you go to EAA because it was a job or because you had an interest in aviation?
It was a job at the time. And boy, am I lucky that I had that opportunity because it's changed completely my life.
What, like how far into working there were you like, okay, I need to start flying?
2 years ago, so I had been there almost 6 years. It took me that long to have the guts and like have the, I guess, I don't know. I was so afraid of flying. I couldn't get people, pilots, to let me take control of the airplane. I thought I was just gonna crash and burn it, like a lot of people think. And when I went out to Utah, maybe a month before High Sierra that year, I flew with Mark Patey, and he was just such a good instructor. He made me calm my nerves, made me feel just completely at ease. And I'm like, if I can find somebody like this, I think I can actually get over this and actually do this. So I went back and I'm like, what am I doing? I have this once in a lifetime opportunity in my hands, and I have to figure out how to do this. So I got back, figured out my plan, and then I went to High Sierra right after that. And I don't know, just it was something that I just realized I was an idiot if I didn't do.
And what was it like going to High Sierra the first time? I mean, your world being Oshkosh, which is very, very organized, very clean, very lots of rules. What was it like showing up on the lake bed to what you came to?
It was a complete like breath of fresh air because it was so cool to go to something where it's completely grassroots, not, I mean, I don't want to say not organized because it's obviously organized to get that many airplanes into that area, but it's just, you know, carefree, not, there's no, you know, corporate influence or anything. It was just so cool to go hang out with people that I've seen on social, I've maybe met a couple times before. I mean, I unfortunately didn't get to do like a ton of real fun stuff because I had a mission to get the story, so I had to do a lot of work stuff, but it was just so cool to go hang out and just see what aviation, especially in the younger generations, is like a lot, you know, a lot
Did
out
that
there.
experience maybe like change how you approach like the next Oshkosh or your planning? Like, did you take anything from that and
Well, I think the network I've built and the relationships I've tried to build with people in the social space and just, you know, outside of some of the regulars that I'm used to interacting with at EA, it's helped me kind of, it's taught me like what drives, you know, a lot of people in flying today and, you know, how I can connect with them through my job better.
we kept in touch after High Sierra. And then you were going to go pursue your license. And I remember you started doing your private on tailwheel. And then you ended up transitioning to nose wheel. So what was that like? Like you're getting your license.
Well, I figured if I'm gonna do this, I'm like gonna do it the cool way. So, and I mean, just talking to people at work and people I know, convince me that learning tailwheel is definitely the more useful way to learn to fly. So I had the opportunity to learn from somebody in a Cub that was at my airport. So I took advantage of it and I went through my solo in the Cub and then I moved to, well, I went moved to a Warrior for a little bit and I hated it in comparison. But so I ended up in the a 172 because that's what my flying club has at EA. So I finished in that because I couldn't have finished in the Cub anyways. So, but I haven't flown the Cub since my solo April of 2019. So it's sad. But I have flown a few tailwheels
And
since, just not by
then you
myself.
did your, wasn't it like your check ride or something like right at Oshkosh time, like last year?
Yes, it was like 3 days before. And I was so mad at my instructor for doing that to me, but and I was so afraid if I failed, like the whole world's gonna know. But it ended up not happening that way, and it was super fun. It was such a fun Oshkosh to be able to like say I'm a pilot and
So I was
you
going to
know.
ask, like, how did it change the event for you?
Oh, totally. I mean, it's changed my job and my life, you know, completely because I've learned so much. I can understand conversation a lot better. I understand what drives and motivates people, and you know, And, you know, it's fun to just be able to talk flying now.
And I know when you were going through your training, because we'd talk quite a bit, you were, I mean, super hard on yourself. Like it was a roller coaster for you, I think, emotionally, confidence wise and all that. Like, what was that like? Like, what was the highest high and the lowest low?
Jeez. My solo actually was really hard because my first landing was really rough. And I was so disappointed in myself. I mean, prior to that, I struggled being hard on myself all the time. So when I wasn't getting landings, I struggle with, you know, what the heck? Like, why doesn't this just, I mean, it clicks and it makes sense, but why is it so inconsistent sometimes? So that and just simple things looking back, like I couldn't get radio. I couldn't, you know, say things on the radios correctly. And just simple concepts just took forever to figure it out because I'm so overwhelmed with all of this information at once. And now looking back, I'm like, now I get why all you guys said how simple this is and how it'll just, you know, you'll just figure it out eventually. But anyways, my solo was rough that first landing. So, after that, I taxied back to my instructors and I'm like, oh, I'm done, because I felt like I was not far from ground looping it. It was just, I don't know what happened, but he's like, he had me explain what happened. He's like, well, if you want to go back out, go ahead. And I had to, because if I didn't, I probably would have quit training at that point. So I made myself go back out. I got one more in because it was getting sunset to sunset. So I was able to get one more in and it was much better. And I enjoyed that one a lot more. And so I was hard on myself on that one for a while because I felt like I didn't do it right. And I didn't have this amazing solo story like so many people that have that just greased their landings and it was, you know, happily ever after. But I ended up accepting it, appreciating it, and I was able to solo the 172 like a couple weeks later. So my highest high was my check ride because I felt like I nailed everything mostly. I was calm. I had the ELT go off in one of my landing patterns because I don't know why it just went off. It was a faulty situation. And like, it was worse. I was going on to base and it went off and I was just proud of myself for not, you know, letting that distract me or, you know, and I knew I did the best I could do that day. So I was very proud of, you know, that happening.
And how did you find like the transition going from the Cub to the 172?
Well, I think, so I went from the Cub to the Warrior first, and I think that's why I hated it, because I was in this airplane that was so like free and, you know, I could, you know, enjoy everything so nice, and you flew by feeling it. And then I'm in this heavy airplane, low wing, I can't see much, and it's just totally different. And so it took me an adjustment period, but now, you know, like I'm flying some RVs and other low wings now that I do, you know, I do actually like them more. But I do love the low and slow and just, you know, being able to look down and just watch everything below me.
Cool. And so you said at your home airport. So what is your home airport?
Oshkosh.
So those of us, like every couple of years, we get to put Oshkosh in our logbook and you get to put Oshkosh in your logbook every single flight.
Yeah, I get to land on the green dot whenever I want.
What's the airport like the rest of the year outside of Oshkosh week?
It's actually busier than I expected it to be. There's always some decent regular traffic. You know, I've gone up to Appleton is the next nearest, you know, decent size airport. And I was surprised how more active Oshkosh felt to me than when I, you know, went to Appleton where there's commercial flights. So obviously there's different controllers there when I'm flying and it's a lot emptier and sadder to look at from the air. But
so when you did your check ride just before Oshkosh last year, did you go out and fly the arrival as a licensed pilot just to do it?
No, I have to work.
Oh yeah. So speaking of last year and your work, So you guys had the complete monsoon rain out like the first couple days.
Yeah, exactly.
And I couldn't go because I had to work as well. Damn work. And they're like, you're the social media manager, and people on EA's social media were just being complete assholes about the rain out. And like, well, how dare I not get the camping spot that I've had the last 20 years? And I'm waiting in line for six hours outside the gate. And they're just like ripping you and your team a new one. And I think you and I were kind of chatting in the background, and there was myself and a couple others that were just, in your defense, just trolling the crap out of them on social media, just kind of like, because we were trying to say everything. I mean, and you can deny this, that's fine. We were basically trying to say everything that we knew you couldn't, given your title there. What's it like dealing with people on their social channels when it comes, like, everyone's excited, they're maybe stressed, they're whatever, drunk, I don't know, when it comes time to Oshkosh time?
I actually responded, I think, in the way I would if I had no company, you know, association, because I understood a lot of the frustration, because I tried to put myself in a position that if I, you know, this is my big thing I come to every year, and it just became chaos because it just happened out of nowhere, and it was such a bigger disaster than we ever thought, you know, could happen, that we were ever really prepared for that to happen. And people sitting on the highway for hours and hours and not able to fly in and not knowing what to do or where to go. Like, I would have been so frustrated.
But they wanted you to be like Moses and part the freaking sea.
They did want me to go and like check their campsites out for them and everything, which obviously is insane. But because my job is not to just customer service our weather issues. I actually have a much different job than that. So I'm trying to do my actual job and then, you know, make sure we're getting communications out. So I want, you know, like, I wanted to be able to deliver every information we knew to everyone, and which I think helped a lot, because, you know, we didn't have a lot of those outlets in the past to be able to, you know, provide pilots that are in the air what to do. You know, we had put text messaging in place, luckily, right that year, and just had our Facebook group, our EA Facebook group, where a lot of people went to for information. And, you know, we were able to, you know, get as much together that we could. Some of it was frustrating, especially when, you know, I'm getting yelled at, or the campground isn't answering their phone that they're trying to call. And it's like, what do you think? Like, we have miles of people waiting to get in. You know, there's only so many of us, and like 3/4 of them are volunteers.
Yeah, you have like 600,000 visitors, and there's like 10 that think the whole event revolves around them. But
yes, exactly. And luckily, we put a great procedure in place for this year, but hey, we don't need it now. So whatever.
So speaking of this year, obviously with COVID, that was a tough and, I know, contentious decision.
Yeah.
Seeing as how aviation can sometimes get very political, but we'll stay out of the politics. And
thank you.
So what was it like, kind of like in the final meeting, deciding that Oshkosh 2020 wasn't going to happen? And then at what point did you say, but we could still do something? And then what is it that you're doing?
So, you know, I was already thinking ahead at least about a month before. I knew right before everybody else knew, actually. Like, the decision was not made ahead of time, and, you know, there was no holding anything. I mean, I knew a tad bit before because I had to get the communication ready to go out, but I don't know. I was just seeing everything happening across the country, and I just started thinking, like, how is this going to happen, like, work for us? And so I just started trying to figure out what could I do. I felt like we needed to do something regardless of if it's a great solution or not. I felt like we needed to have something there out there that week so people could, you know, participate somehow or not feel this super huge void. So as a lot of organizations that are putting on events are doing, we're doing something virtual. We're doing 5 days. I didn't want to put myself through it for 7 days. Well, it's just not me. There's a handful of us doing a lot of work for it. But we're doing, you know, discussions, interviews, forums, workshops, you know, some tech talk stuff for people to get wings credits and stuff like that. Just for people to stay engaged in aviation, to, you know, a lot of hangar flying type stuff. So we can at least share the spirit of aviation, you know, showcase all the different areas of flight, and, you know, at least have conversation going and keeping the community
and
together.
We need to be an EAA member to access that, correct? No?
No.
Really?
No, I mean, you should, but we'd love you to be, but no, it's open for everyone to watch. And so we have our own website for it, eatogether.org, where all of it will be streaming, as well as YouTube. We'll be putting a lot of the content on YouTube as well. So
and will,
that's all you have to do.
Will that content be saved to be watched after the fact, or is it kind of live or you don't see it?
It'll be aired live and then all go on demand after. So it'll be there afterwards.
That's going to be game changing probably for the event. And you know what you're opening yourself up to.
Yeah, I know. We were already expanding ourselves live streaming this year before this happened. So yeah, I know.
Yeah, next year everyone's going to want everything live online and cataloged.
And free, yeah. But it's really taught us how we can do business differently too, in a lot of things, from like the webinars we're doing to workshops, you know, where we do all those in person. It's really getting us to think about how we can deliver content and education differently in the future.
So did you have to get, I don't know who your provider is out there, like AT&T or Verizon, to 10 times their bandwidth for all of the town of Oshkosh?
During the event or for this? Yeah. It's been a struggle. Like, I don't have great internet. I've been doing all of the interviews that we've been doing, you know, we do some ahead of time. All the technical stuff has been a struggle, but whatever, deal with it. But during the event, and we have to boost. Yes, we bring in towers and stuff.
And that's why we're doing this interview today. Because yesterday you made a Facebook post about you've been so busy doing interviews for Spirit of Aviation Week, and you finally got to go flying. And I was thinking, I'm like, Sarah's been doing all the interviewing, but I think she should be interviewed. So
I like the behind the scenes. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, it was really cool to get you to be able to do this and kind of give people a little bit of a behind the scenes look at it. What I wanted to ask you. So you, with the Spirit of Aviation Week, are you engaging with a lot of the kind of, I hate the word, influencers, if you will, like your YouTubers and your Instagrammers and all that for this?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of that, plus just, you know, significant people in even aviation. You know, we have like Lee Lauterbach, with Stallion 51, Dick Rattan, Blue Angels, Thunderbirds, the demo teams, down to, you know, just some cool home building stories, cool learning to fly stories. We do have a number of influencers, or, you know, people of noteworthy on social.
I'm sitting here doing air quotes, by the way, if you can't see it.
It's really just people with inspiring stories. That's what got me back in the airplane yesterday. I hadn't flown it myself in 7 months, which is insane. And I'm a new pilot. So just listening to everybody talking about, you know, their stories and the importance of flying. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? I need to get back up there. So then I went.
So of all the I won't ask the other side of it, but of all the aviation, like social media personalities that you get to be involved with, if you had to, and you're going to answer this, if you had to pick just one that like the most easygoing, easiest aviation social media personality just to deal with day in, day out, who is it?
Oh my goodness. Really? Well, a lot of these people I actually hadn't met before. Steph Strickland has helped tie me to a lot of the influencers. So I've gotten to first know them. Paul Harrop, I'm going to be interviewing. And
he's
I will
a coworker,
say
though. You can't pick.
No, he's not. He's a. No, he's Come not. On. He's with AOPA. He's not
okay,
a
well,
coworker.
Kinda, you're right. There you go. I'm like,
he's a competitor.
I'm 0 for 2. First the Sun and Fun thing, and now, and yeah, now Paul. Paul's awesome.
We're not coworkers. So, but he's, it's fun because with him, because he started to learn to fly after I did. And, you know, we work at two, you know, differing organizations with very similar missions. And we really try to work together. Like, how can we work together and, you know, be more powerful together. And he's just super open and honest and fun. And I would say probably him.
Paul's awesome. He's at ICR the last 2 years too. If you ever meet Paul, just bring him a really good cigar and he'll be a happy guy.
Yeah. He's taught me a lot. He's taught me how to grow in this space too. So,
okay. So we've got kind of Oshkosh covered. How can the, I don't know, the person who isn't well known, who isn't, you know, your Neil Armstrong or your Flight Chops or your Corey Robin or your Steph Strickland, how can they kind of take part and share what they have to offer in aviation on Spirit of Aviation Week?
That's a good question. And now that I just thought a little bit more, Super Aero is another person that I have really connected with, who's not one of these big Flight Chops influencers, but who has gotten like more focused on how he can digitally, offer content. And I just started talking to him by chance last year, and this will tie to what you're asking. But he's in Wisconsin, so it made it easier. But I just started talking to him, and he, you know, wanted to collaborate with us because he wanted to build and he wanted to help us, you know, build our space, because I would say EA has a long way to go in the social space and how we can deliver content. So we partnered up last year at AirVenture. We gave him some experiences, behind the scenes experiences. He created content for us and his channel, and it worked out for both of us. So those are areas that I'd love to do more with, you know, some folks. We did that with Flight Chops as well. I like to help the more up and coming people who kind of need more support. And, you know, I would love people to just share their, you know, flying passions, you know, why they're in this space.
Like a specific hashtag you're using?
There's a hashtag. Yep. EAA together. So EAA together. And that's what we'd love people to use. And tag us in their posts, and we'll share their stuff as well.
Okay, so the hashtag's EAA together, and if they wanted to tag EAA, like in general, it'd be at
EAA.
Just EAA, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so somebody who lives in Oshkosh and gets Oshkosh in their logbook every single flight, where's your, like, where do you, if you're like, my bucket list trip is, and it's not flying back to where you're from, where is it?
I actually want to go back to Utah and fly in the mountains or Nevada and do that myself, like as a pilot, because when I went there the last couple of times, you know, I took, you know, flights with others, but I want to do more backcountry flying. And there's actually some decent ones, you know, spots in southern Wisconsin. So if I had to stay here, you know, I'd want to do that, but I'd love to go out west and learn that.
Cool. And what's, you're going to, thinking of adding any other ratings to your license, or are you kind of just gonna chill with what you got?
I know.
No, like, it's okay to say no. Like, you can say no.
I hate to stop, but like, instrument just freaks me out, and I have to feel committed to something because I can quit pretty easily in all things. So I don't feel committed to it at this point.
Don't do it.
If I get there, I will. Yeah. I'm okay with where I am right now. I just want to get myself flying more.
Your job, what's the best part of it, and what's the hardest part about being the digital media manager for EA?
The best part has been I've built my job at EAA. I started just doing email marketing, and I've moved maybe 3 times in positions, and I've had the support and ability to make this job what it is, where I, you know, oversee digital content, and marketing came back around a year or so ago. But so going out and doing things like High Sierra, I would never have done any of these things without my job, you know, getting me there. So it's helped push me beyond my boundaries. I think the toughest part would be, I think we're a small organization, even though we support such big initiatives and so many things, we're actually very small. So it's very hard for me to be able to do some things very well, you know, to really engage, you know, influencers or other people who can, you know, we can collaborate more. My time it's just so hard because I have to do so many different things. We don't have people doing, you know, these specific individual jobs as much. So I feel like I fall short on some things that I would like not to, but I do my best.
Flying wise or work wise, doesn't really matter. What scares you the most? What just scares the crap out of you?
Flying with somebody new, because I'm actually not a very, I'm an introvert. So flying with somebody different that I'm not friends with or close with, I get nervous.
Like a new instructor or something.
I feel like if I don't know enough things, or like, I don't feel comfortable around them. So I'm not as relaxed as I should probably be when flying. So, I always tend to steer towards people I know well, unless if I'm getting in an airplane I know well and I'm taking somebody for a flight, fine. But if I need to learn something, I don't like it when you're a stranger.
I think I kind of related with something you said there, where you said you're an introvert, but I feel I am as well. But I mean, especially locally here, I've got a big online presence, and I find it so much easier to engage with people through social media, through email, through like written. And I feel like, I think you're the same way, where we come across as kind of big personalities, you know, big ideas, and then you end up face to face with somebody that you've established a social media relationship with. And I feel like I'm almost letting them down, because I'm not this big bubbly personality. It's super freaking awkward, and I'm not sure how to quite approach that.
That's a perfect explanation. I completely agree. People think it's strange when I say I'm introverted, but I really am.
Yeah, totally. Well, awesome, Sarah. I thank you for doing this. I want to get this out in a couple of days, and we'll get the EA together information out there so that everyone can participate. If you're not an EAA member, and I'm going to be super upfront, I let my membership lapse last year. So,
well, I'll have them call you tomorrow.
I will save the stamp and save the long distance call. I'll go online and I will rejoin EAA today, because I think it's awesome that you guys didn't just throw in the towel on 2020. You guys are all busting your asses to make something happen so that everybody can have something. And I think that's so huge that you guys have made it available to everyone. And, good job. And don't let it be 7 months before you fly again, for goodness sake.
I promise.
Awesome. All right, Sarah, well, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else I missed that you wanted to cover?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, cool. Well, we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it. There's my interview with Sarah Nisler of EAA, but more importantly, just Sarah Nisler of Sarah Nisler. She's an awesome personality, someone I feel really fortunate to have met at High Sierra and to have kept in touch with. And her team truly are busting their chops to make sure that the aviation community does have something to celebrate in 2020, even if it isn't in person at Oshkosh. So, on the week of, I believe, the 21st of July, make sure that you are involved and you are engaged at www.eaatogether.org, and any of your social media aviation postings between now and then, be sure to tag it, #EAAtogether. And I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to go on to the EAA website right now, re-up my membership just to show them some support for what they are doing for the aviation community. If you like what we're putting out there and you're enjoying this content, visit us at www.cardinalaviation.ca/podcast. You can see some of the links from this episode there. There's also a button to check out the Cardinal Aviation gear or to contribute to the podcast if you want to keep seeing this content be put out. Also, we want to do a members question episode. So if you want to reach out to us and have a question or something that you're curious about that you want us to talk about, reach out to us on Instagram at Cardinal Aviation or info@cardinalaviation.ca. Thanks again, Sarah. Thank you guys for joining us once again. Until next time, fly safely, never stop learning.